This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan. Real Money Kramer. It's happening, Kramer.
Happy Saturday to the East Coast, yeah, Central Time
out.
Zone.
Shout out to the East Coast. We're going to be joined by an East Coaster here in just a second. Of course, talking more NBA playoffs. If you're looking to get down on the NBA playoffs, ProfitX. Have you checked out ProfitX? If not, what are you waiting for? Love ProfitX. Use it a ton when I'm out there in California. And I mean, ProfitX, download the app, use the promo code VSIN200, and they will get you covered for... It's one of the premier exchanges available in 40 states. And again, what's great about the exchange is it guarantees you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. So download ProfitX today with code VSIN and earn up to 200 in profit cash over your first month. That's ProfitX, promo code VSIN. Joining us on the line, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, from the NBA Gambling Podcast, Mr. Scott Reichel. Scott, how's your night gambling been?
They're doing pretty well. Can't complain. I was enjoying the Panthers and Oilers game. Not even really sweating out of bed or anything, just enjoying some playoff hockey. So
no, I mean,
I don't know if I've ever heard Scott say he was just enjoying sports.
Yeah, without the sweat.
Is everything okay, Scott? Blink twice.
I enjoyed everything until the last second as a Edmonton Oilers. Everything else was awesome. I enjoyed the goal with 17 seconds to send it into overtime the most, I would say. The least was, of course, how the game ended. But good series so far. But let's kick it over to the hardwood. NBA Finals, Game 2. Obviously, the Pacers shocked the world there in Game 1. Do the Thunder respond? How do you see this game going? And then we'll talk about some props you like.
Yeah, Game 1 is pretty difficult to reevaluate because the Thunder were cruising pretty much the entire game until Indiana happened again, and they found a way to win a game that seemed impossible for them to win. Spread's bigger in this game. It's at 11.5. At first glance, I actually like the under in this game. The total is too high at around 227.5. I think Indiana defensively played well down the stretch, and I do think the Thunder, despite forcing a bunch of turnovers in the first half, they still make some adjustments. They were not great defensively, especially in that fourth quarter. Total feels a bit high to me at around 228.5 now. Saw the game end up under that. I think you'll see a fourth quarter that might end up being close. We'll see. 11 at first glance seems a bit high, but they're expecting the Thunder to respond accordingly in a basically a must-win game. But I do think that the total feels a bit high to me. First glance, I like the under. I do think the Thunder even up the series. Do I want to lay 11 with this team? Not really. But I prefer the under in this matchup.
Yeah, so what about the props? I know you like grinding out props here. Interesting. And, well, actually, let's just stay on the series. Is there anything right now, if you jumped in series-wise, do you like maybe laying 1.5 with OKC? Do you think maybe there's even some value there on SGA minus 280 MVP if you like the Thunder? Do you think the Pacers have a chance to win this series? How do you see the rest of the series shaking out?
So initially, I had the Thunder in 5. I still think the Thunder are going to win the series, but I do give props to Indiana for definitely causing everybody to second-guess themselves who picked the Thunder already. Nice job, Indiana, to showcase the mental toughness we knew that they already had. Once again, in such a tough road environment in OKC after having 19 turnovers in the first half. However, I think I actually am going to pivot a bit more to the rebounding leader for the series. I like Siakam. In the market. He had 10 in game 1. We saw Miles Turner, remember, had a rebound for once. I'll dare him to do that again for the rest of the series. Nesmith had a good rebounding game, but Siakam had 10, and I do think if they're going to potentially bench Turner from Obi Toppin, like they did at the end of game 1, gives more chances to Siakam. He had a very important offensive rebound and put back late in that game over SGA. I think Siakam to lead the series in rebounds has some value.
Oh, okay. So, and what Siakam to lead the series in reboundings? Rebounds? What do you see that priced at?
So, if you shop around, it can be you can find different lines available. But I see Siakam still at around 5-1.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is a great price. Chet's minus 170. He got benched in game one. We'll see how he responds in game two. Hartenstein was pretty good in limited minutes, but once again, I am wondering how they're going to divide up the minutes between Chet and Hartenstein. But Siakam was very good at rebounding in game one. He has been good, historically speaking, against the Thunder. He's had 9+ rebounds in 4 of the last 5 games against the Thunder. Give me Siakam to lead the series in rebounds at 5-1.
What about game two props? What do you like there?
Yeah, so it's going to segue me into my first prop, which is Siakam, over 6.5 rebounds for this game. He's had at least 9 in 4 of the last 5 games against the Thunder. He had 10 rebounds in game one. At the end of the day, he was not rebounding that much against the Knicks, which did result in his line kind of plummeting, but it's a matchup thing, and he's been very good against the Thunder. It's 6.5 at -135. I like that. I think he probably gets to 8 or so in this game. Give me the over on Siakam, 6.5 rebounds.
Like it. I see also you got...
Throw in Siakam first bucket. I'm taking that.
Really?
850, yeah.
Okay.
Every
Scott,
game in the series.
You mess around with the first bucket market at all or no?
I don't want to cut in on Kramer's territory, so I leave that all to him.
I'm going away from the heavy favorites, Scott.
Yeah, Kramer running his dub club over here. All it is first bucket parlays, first gold parlays.
I'm building a ladder or whatever I'm supposed to be doing.
The ladder challenge. Ryan's also stuck on the first step of the ladder challenge.
Broken.
Follow Scott on X if you want to see him roast some touts at Rice Shell Radio. Scott, I'm with you. I love the Siakam over rebounds. I'm going to tail that as well. But what else is interesting? I've been on the TJ McConnell market. I see you like him here. What are you doing with TJ McConnell?
Yeah, that's my guy. I'm going to go with the over 12.5 PRA for him here at -106. He's had at least 13 PRA in 13 of his last 20 games. Be good against OKC as well. He's had at least 13 PRA in 4 of his last 5 games against the Thunder. We know this because we keep betting him, but he does a little bit of everything in whatever time he has on the court, and he's constantly involved with the bench unit. Think that the number's still too low. He could either have a bunch of points, a bunch of assists, but I think that 13.5 is a pretty, or 12.5, I mean, is a pretty low number for a guy that is definitely capable of getting there in a couple of ways. Game McConnell over 12.5 PRA at -106.
Yeah, I think I'm going to play that and his rebounds and assists because he was just under that 5.5, but he's been 12-5 to the over throughout the series. I do like that. What about Tyrese Halliburton? He's very weird game one for Tyrese Halliburton. He felt very passive, wasn't super aggressive, getting his shot. But then the second half, things started to pick up. And then, of course, the Onions do hit that long range two to win the game. What do you like fading Tyrese Halliburton here, props wise, points wise, PRA, or do you think he like gets some momentum after that big shot? How do you see Tyrese in game two?
Yeah, to be honest, I got a bit distracted because I saw Kramer was kind of pouting in the corner over there talking about Halliburton's game winner. Are you okay over there, Kramer?
He's just amazing. Some of the time, he's amazing. Some of the time.
That was a great shot.
Last time I saw you, you called him a dude. That's why I'm just wondering if you've reevaluated.
He's a dude on some nights, and he's greatness on others. I do like this new rivalry I'm chumming up with Scott over
Tyrese
Halliburton.
Yeah, you and Scott going head. Well, you and Scott and you and Tyrese going head to head.
Don't get me started with these Midwestern basketball fans.
Well, come on.
They get very offended.
Give him his flowers or whatever Tyrese Halliburton wants because he's single-handedly putting the team on his
great.
Back.
He's great. He's great.
The reason why I brought it up, by the way, is because it was actually kind of a bait and switch. I like the under on Halliburton points in this game. I was kind of setting you guys up for this one. I got the under at 16.5 points. Despite having the game winner in game one, he still went under this number. As you said before, he was very passive, had a good rebounding game, but the points were not that great. He has had less than 15 points in 3 of his last 4 games against the Thunder, and the Thunder have been great against point guards. They're allowing the second fewest points per game to opposing point guards in the league. Under 16.5, though, is only at -105. I like the price. If you do think the Thunder bring it defensively and even up the series, they probably limit Halliburton to a pretty underwhelming shooting game, or they take him out of the game entirely, and you notice Halliburton kind of being passive again. Give me Halliburton under the 16.5 points here at -105.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Great angle.
Even as someone who's going to be on Pacers in the 11 points, I don't think we need a massive game from Halliburton. I'm fine with him getting rebounds, assisting. I would want him to be more aggressive, but we saw in game one, they can win without him lighting it up. They just need a couple of those role players to get hot. What about, it's not on your sheet here, Scott, but what's your take on Lu Dort? He kind of got loose. I've been playing Lu Dort overs at home, fading him on the road, but that was when his you know, point total was set at 7.5. It's all the way up to 10.5. Any Lou Dort thoughts?
I would have considered taking the over on threes, but unfortunately it's been bumped up to 2.5 now.
Yeah.
And I feel like at this point I'm just buying too high on Dort. Dort can be quite streaky. We know Cason Wallace was not very good in game one. There's always a chance that if Dort struggles, they might bench him and give him less minutes, maybe bring in Cason for a bit more. So Dort, not really interested in. I can understand if you want to ride the hot hand. He has made 4+ threes in back-to-back games. But the issue is we know that Dagnall can be willing to give him less minutes if needed.
Yeah.
If he is breaking a bunch of shots on the outside or foul trouble plays a factor. So Dort, I might have considered if they didn't over-adjust the lines. I think they did a little bit too much. So I'm going to pass on Dort for game two.
1 minute on the clock. Scott, give us another player prop you like here for game two of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to go back to Siakam for a second. I'll go with Siakam under 1.5 turnovers at +135. Indiana had 25 turnovers in game one. Siakam only had one. So he did a pretty good job of actually keeping control of the basketball. It's +135. He has had less than 2 turnovers in 8 of the last 10. He's had less than 2 turnovers in 4 of the last 5 against the Thunder. Siakam seems pretty decisive when he has the ball. Does a good job of keeping the ball out of harm's way. But once again, people might be panicking about the turnovers for Indiana, but Siakam kept it under control. Give me Siakam under 1.5 turnovers at +135.
Great stuff. As always, make sure you subscribe to the NBA Gambling Podcast. Scott Reichel coming up. We got Noah Beanick, 73-42 in his best bets for college baseball. Whoa. From the College Baseball Experience. Talking College Baseball World Series when we return. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live. Sean, second agreement with our partner in picks, Ryan. Real Money Kramer. It's happening, Kramer.
Oh, I almost said hut hike.
No,
we I was just thinking about this Cam Scataboo Rookie of the Year that I got. I'm very excited to complete that ticket to 100.
Great investment opportunity. We're going to be talking College Baseball World Series, of course. Download the free College World Series betting guide at VSiN.com/CWS. That's VSiN.com/CWS. Joining us on the line to talk all things baseball from the College Experience Baseball Edition. You know him, you love him, Mr. Noah Beanick, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Noah, how are we doing so far with the college baseball picks? I know you've had a very good season, but how's the tournament been treating you?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? I had you on the side on another device. Currently, we had an hour and a half rain delay in Coastal Carolina. Auburn just cashed the over that I bet in that game. So 3-0 day for me personally. I know that you mentioned that at the end of the last, before you went to commercial, you mentioned my record. I don't even tally it, honestly. I'm really bad at it. But yeah, honestly,
nice
just riding the flow. Yeah, going with the flow.
Yeah, feeling the flow. It's like when you're winning a bunch of money at the table. You're not supposed to count your chips, Noah.
I hate tallying it.
Yeah. I was just going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/collegebaseballpicks and I just pulled it right from there. So you can get Noah's picks for free, of course, on his podcast, on our website, and of course subscribe to the College Baseball Experience. Bunch of super regional action here on Saturday. I see you got a lot of plays here, Noah. What do you got? Yeah. What are we doing? Where are we going?
Yeah, we've got a full super regional slate, 8 games for tomorrow. I'll start you off with my favorite one, and that's Murray State and Duke over 13. You look at the Murray State Racers, and they're a 4 seed that were able to get out of the regional, but they had to use both their best starting pitcher and their number 2 starting pitcher, Nick Schutte and Isaac Silva, to get out of that regional. So now who are the Racers going to throw? That's the big question here. They could go with one of those two guys, but it would kind of be on short rest after throwing 140+ pitches over the weekend. And Duke's offense is very talented, but also Murray State, they faced pretty good pitching in Ole Miss and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech was a 40+ win team that won the regular season in the ACC. Ole Miss, of course, hosted that regional. And Murray State put up 8+ runs in all 4 of the games that they played between those two teams. So I'm looking at both Murray State's offense that's been really good this season so far, and the top of the order, you know, you got Jonathan Hogart, who has been playing outstanding. Dusty Mercer got the most outstanding player in that regional. And Duke has been hitting bombs left and right this year. They're one of the best, most powerful offenses in the country. Going up against mid-major pitching, I think they'll be able to put up some runs to help us out on this over.
These totals are, and that's what's, you know, one of the many reasons this is super fun. Obviously, the betting, the tournament style bracket, and who doesn't like dingers? Who doesn't like overs?
Oh, yeah.
What about Tennessee, Arkansas? We got the number 14 seed versus the number 3 seed in Arkansas. Do you like a side total? What are you doing there, Noah?
Yeah, this is going to be, this is honestly slated as one of the best series that we're going to see this weekend. These are two of the top three teams in odds currently to win the national championship that are going up against each other before we even get to Omaha. So hopefully this thing delivers. I'm hoping for the best. Honestly, this game one matchup, Tennessee hasn't released who they're going to start yet. It's either going to be Marcus Phillips or Liam Doyle. We just saw these two teams play against each other in a three-game series 3 weekends ago. And, you know, Zach Root, who's going to start this game for Arkansas, only threw 3.2 innings. He gave up 4 runs, 7 hits to Tennessee. And Liam Doyle, who's been their ace the entire year for the Volunteers, if he goes on the road this season, he's got a 5.17 ERA compared to his 2.84 on the entire year. And against the Arkansas Razorbacks just 3 weekends ago, 4.1 innings, he gave up 8 runs, 6 earned on 11 hits. And all three of these games that we saw went over this total that's currently at 11.5 at minus 115. This is, I feel really good about this. Arkansas's lineup is one of the best, if not the best, in the country against left-handed pitching. This year, they are hitting 352 as a team with a 1059 OPS. They're led by the Bash Bradas, as they call them, two Hawaiian brothers, Vahiva Aloy, who may win the Golden Spikes Award, which is basically your Heisman Trophy of college baseball. He's one of the three finalists for that, and also his brother, Kahio Aloy. Both of them are big right-handed sticks that can hit the ball out of the park at any moment. So Arkansas, Tennessee, both very powerful offenses, are very capable of getting us this over, as they did in all three games earlier this season in their series.
I mean, Kramer, how can we not bet on a duo called the Bash Bradas? Mahalo.
What do they call Vegas? The Ninth Island?
I think Seventh Island.
Seventh Island?
But I'll have to double check on the island. And Noah, if you want to know who is a starting pitcher for some of these teams, all you got to do is text our good buddy Brad Bohannon. Obviously, you remember that as he was the former Alabama baseball head coach who was tipping off bettors. And that's the guy who got busted.
I just love the part of the story where the guy who was trying to place the bet was like, no, look, I have inside information.
And the casino cameras were able to zoom in and see his text messages with Brad. I mean, no, what else happened in that story?
Also, he's placing the bet in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it's a five-figure bet where they've got like a $300 handle. It's just,
they're like
how dumb are we?
The previous handle on the game nationwide was under $500, and he was trying to get down like $20,000. Yeah, and he goes, no, trust me, I know.
The interview with the bookmaker was like, it stood out to us because we hadn't taken any action on the game.
And then all of a sudden, this guy's emphatic. No, let me bet. No, of course, anytime I'm betting college sports, I always like a good dog. It's what makes these tournaments fun, right? The upsets, anyone can win. Is there an upset on Saturday that you think? Any juicy dogs?
Yeah, let's have a little fun. And honestly, if the listeners aren't as wanting to play this as aggressively as I'm going to, they can take the under in this matchup as well for the exact same reasons that I'm going to talk about. But I think West Virginia's live against LSU. They're plus 230. West Virginia's seen a lot of disrespect in the market all season long. This is a team that honestly 40 plus wins in the Big 12, ran away with the regular season, then kind of, you know, was leaking oil down the rest of the season. They got swept at home in the final weekend of the year to barely clinch a not even a share. They won it outright, the Big 12 regular season title. But this offense against left-handed pitching, again, quoting some split stats here that are hard to find in the public, West Virginia, 347 average, 972 OPS against left-handed pitching. LSU's probably going to start Cade Anderson. That's not a confirmed go, but Anthony Ianson did appear in the regional final on Monday against the 4-seed Little Rock, who had LSU up against the ropes. And if LSU's offense doesn't show up to play today, like they kind of, you know, kind of sleptwalked through their Baton Rouge regional that was kind of a cupcake draw, West Virginia is going to be live in this matchup. Griffin Kern reminds me a lot of Derek Clark from last year. He was kind of their bulldog lefty ace. And Kern on the season, 313 ERA, 100 strikeouts and 92 innings with just 30 walks. Opponents are only hitting 178 against him. And his last five starts, it's a 223 ERA. If he goes well, which I think he will be, West Virginia was a very live competitor against North Carolina in the Super Regional last year. I think West Virginia is going to keep this one really close. They need this one to be a lower scoring game in order to win it. And yeah, if you're not as aggressive on the money line here, the under 11.5 should be in play because Cade Anderson's one of the best pitchers in the country and has been. He's the strikeout leader with 156 and 96 innings. The Bayou Bengals should be on alert in this matchup, though.
I'm hearing under and dog parlay.
Oh, little parlay.
I'm writing all these.
Well,
down.
But he also, for non-aggressive bettors like you, Ryan, you could take the under 11.5.
No, I'm an aggressive.
Oh, you're an aggressive bettor? Okay. One more play, Noah. You're on the clock. We got about 90 seconds. Give us one more play for the Super Regional Saturday. I know everyone's going to be downloading the College World Series betting guide at VSiN.com/CWS and subscribing to the College Baseball Experience. What do you got for the good folks?
Yeah, I'll give everybody a late night sweat. UCLA -160 on the money line is a play that I do like here. At home, UCLA has been really good this season. Michael Barnett probably going to be on the mound for the Bruins. In his last four starts, he's got a 2.92 ERA. He's 7-0 at home this year with a 2.70 ERA at the ballpark compared to a 4.18 ERA season long. And Zach Royce pitched. He's been the number one guy for UTSA for most of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if he appears in this matchup, but in his regional start, it wasn't a very competitive game script against Kansas State. They win that game 10-2. A couple of runs were scratched across by the Wildcats early in that matchup. I'd like to see Royce in a more competitive game. And Rock Chalowski, one of the best players in the country, should be playing pretty motivated this weekend as he was not nominated for a Golden Spikes appearance in the final three there. So UCLA, I think they're going to be pretty live here at home against UTSA. The cute two seed that went down to Austin, knocked off Texas in their own regional.
That's good.
Give me UCLA.
Great stuff as always. No being a College Baseball Experience. When we return, paper ticket parlays, aka Tail of the Tape. I got one 24-1. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan. Real Money Kramer. It's happening, Kramer.
We got unfortunately, we have a replacement tape measure.
Yeah, Ryan.
Currently, there was a full scale investigation. There's been a heist. The normal tape measure was not able to make the trip, so we do have a backup. Can't quite reach the camera like the old ones. So.
No, it doesn't have the same. I don't even know the tenacity of the other tape.
Well, here's engine. I'll do a little improv here. Oilers fans earlier tonight. Oh,
come on! Wow. You knew I had some money on the Oilers. We're gonna be getting down. I'm sure we'll be hitting the tables there. And of course, anytime I'm at a casino or loading up an app, you know what I'm using. That's right. My Edge Boost card right here. Love the Edge Boost card. It is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with the promo code SGP. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet, promo code SGP. Kramer?
I was fully prepared to go up to the window and do just a short two-banger.
Little baby.
Heavy money line favorites. But then I knew Scott was on the show, and
yep.
Scott's really been coming after me.
He
For
is.
Those who don't listen to the podcast, great development is Scott coming after us.
Well, Ryan's move has been in the NBA playoffs. Just instead of giving out like a dog, we like to give out a dog or lock, whatever. And he's just been lazily parlaying two money line favorites.
Yeah.
And Scott's been calling him out, saying, what are you, some tout with the Dub Club partnership you're looking to promote?
Just putting NBA effort out there, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I do have. So I thought better of myself.
Okay.
Then I started crafting a parlay, and then
now,
I asked,
you didn't put in the NFL Week One.
Hold on, I didn't. Then I asked you what you did, and you gave me a coy response.
Yeah, I'm not going to show my hand pre-show.
So I start putting something together, text some sources. I'm putting together a multi-sport. Then I go up to the window, or I go up to the front, and I see they have NFL Week One.
No, because NFL Week One's cheating.
Nope. Sorry, not sorry.
So you can make up rules for speed betting, but when I make up rules for tail of the tape, that's crossing the line.
I didn't know there was a rule.
No, what
I didn't
do you
know
mean?
There was a rule.
The rule of the spirit of tail of the tape is something that we can discuss next episode.
Yeah, we'll discuss this in the future.
Oh, will it be done by next episode?
Probably not, but we'll still. You know what?
Probably not.
It won't have lost by next episode. We'll still be alive.
Oh wow, this is poor form.
Also, I am
sending all your at Kramer-centric for all your complaints about Kramer's refusal to give out a parlay that you can cash this week. This weekend, Saturday. I got four games here, four events.
Sean, I went to the window and I had a bunch of cash to collect, and I turned a lot of it into NFL futures. There was a 0% chance I wasn't walking away with a tail of the tape parlay. All right, you want to go first or should I?
Oh, I mean, it's not going to happen for a long time, so
I'll go second.
Yeah, we'll save my
clean up.
No, I'll go second because it's more relevant.
Okay. NFL is always more relevant. If you could send me a clip of that, please, Johnny. Sean claims to be an NFL fan.
Oh, I am an NFL fan.
If you want to hold that.
There's no games on Saturday.
No, they play on Sunday. Oh,
there's no games on Sunday.
In a couple weeks there are. Less than 60 days for the Hall of Fame game, by the way. For those who forget, I think they say just under 6 inches is average for a parlay.
Yeah. What do you got?
6¾ inches.
Wow.
John, you're going to like this one. Instant reaction. I wrote this down months ago.
Sure.
Dolphins -1. You like that?
Are you getting CLV on that?
No.
Okay.
But we're fading the Colts Week 1. Autoplay.
Daniel Jones, you're fading him as a starter. You're out.
Giants plus the touchdown.
Oh, so you don't believe they could win?
There's no money. You know, I don't like to commingle money lines and spreads. Raiders +3. The Patriots. I'm betting against the Patriots every week.
There's just so much hype surrounding the Patriots that I
gotta fade them.
I think they could be a better team, but still not win a bunch of games. If that
you don't think
sense.
Gino and Ashton Jeanty are gonna show up ready to go here. By the way, I saw in another VSiN program they were discussing Ashton Jeanty 2,000-yard props. Very interesting there. I know he's a rookie. Cardinals -5. There's been some movement here.
You know, the more I think about it, the more I'm a little skeptical of the Kyler's.
I'm going to circle the Cardinals as the one, but that's this Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener.
If Spencer Rattler starts, I definitely like that better than
who's going to get
Tyler Shuck, who has a ton of games.
Who is he? Who's going to get the rose in New Orleans to start at quarterback? All very good looking quarterbacks. And then the last one, Rams -2.5. I know you're not supposed to lay the 2.5.
Oh, wow. Ryan, you're breaking your own rules.
I'm fading the Texans, another team I want to go against before everyone sees what the product's going to look like. They turned the whole offensive line over.
Are you going to use this Week 1 for your tail of the tape?
$100 pays $2,000.
You didn't even answer me.
I'm finishing the bit. Okay. $2,284.85.
Okay. How many games is that?
5.
Okay. What if I told you I have 4 events here?
And I will be tipping $184.85.
Okay, nice. They enjoy a generous tip.
Do better than that, Sean.
All right, I can. 1, these are all things happening on Saturday that you can bet on. And this is, while mine isn't as long as Kramer's.
Wait, hold on. Where are you measuring from?
You know,
you're starting at like 2 inches.
All right, so
what happened to that ticket? Where did it go through the washer?
6¼, but the 6¼ packs more power than Kramer's. $100. This $100 pays out $24.53, and unlike Kramer, I'm not afraid of action this weekend.
Okay,
give me the Birmingham Stallions. Pick 'em.
Like it.
-110. Give me the St. Louis Battlehawks. minus 130. We're talking UFL football. If you're not familiar, Stallions and Jamar Smith, Ham Newton is his nickname. He is their coach is one of the few coaches that cares about coaching. There's been 8 coaches in the league. Only 3 of them haven't missed time for personal reasons or quitting on their team. There's a lot of weird stuff going on in the league. But Stallions Battlehawks will be the UFL championship final. I'm putting them together in a parlay. Battlehawks, I'm taking the money line here at minus 130. They're a short favorite. But if you watch the UFL, they have, you know, 3-point plays. There are weird things that could happen to for them to win and not cover. So I'm going to lay the minus 130. Then we go to UFC. We have a UFC fight, and I got these plays
nice
from our buddies over at the MMA Gambling Podcast. Ryan, Andres Gustafsson, plus 170 to win, and Vicente Luque, Luque, plus 180.
Very nice.
Those two guys, my MMA guys like them. That's good enough for me. And they are very good at picking out dogs, so I will happily tail. So, Stallions, Battlehawks, Gustafsson, and Vicente Luque. $100 pays you 2, 4, 5, 3, and 50 cents. $253.50 coming your way, circa, in the form of a tip. Shout out to the Peggy, Stallions, Peggy the ticket.
Oh, runner. How's she doing? Stallions are a free square. Do you know how many times that Skip Holtz and the Stallions have lost in the postseason since the Birmingham Stallions have become a team in the USFL?
Zero.
They've only lost 7 times in 3 years.
Last time they lost, the Stallions lost to the Panthers. You got to go back to 1983. Now
I was going
to
say it hasn't happened
now,
in the
part
modern.
Part of that is that it wasn't a league for a large chunk of that time. So maybe the record isn't quite as impressive.
Yes.
But still, you got to go back to 1983, the last time the Panthers beat the Stallions.
Yeah, they haven't done it under the new iteration. Like you said, Lou Holtz is a kid doing a coaching hard.
Skip Holtz. Ryan.
Unlike the other coaches who are just quitting halfway through the season.
Well, there was I'm sure we'll talk about it on our UFL gambling podcast, which just inevitably becomes us making fun of the league and the fans for a long period of time. It's great. It's a lot of fun. And check out, we did a bonus. I went to war with the press guy last year. We did that as a bonus episode. Very fun. Check those out. But the Brahmas guy was saying basically there was a guy the league sent that was secretly like an undercover boss type of head coach that was overruling the San Antonio Brahmas' actual coaching decisions.
I mean, I don't look
and,
too.
And the league is owned. One of the owners is The Rock. But he got a divorce from his wife. Now, the wife is one of the faces of the league. We think conspiracy theory. That's maybe why The Rock isn't going out of the way to promote the league, which he's invested in. More questions than answers for the United Football League.
They may not have contracts with stadiums next year or even in the postseason this year.
That being said, I like both favorites, both small favorites. Like them both on the money line. Stallions, Battlehawks, LFG. When we close things out, our best bets for the Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VC. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live. Sean, Second Money Kramer, with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Just the amount of things in my pocket.
Yeah, your pocket is
great stuff.
Overflowing. Man, we got through so many picks, so many fun bits and segments. We got our best bets, and our best bets are brought to you by G-Bank. And introducing, of course, the $500 trifecta from G-Bank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a G-Bank Visa signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit, and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That's the number one ST bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. What is the $500 trifecta? Great question. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your G-Bank Visa signature credit card. Then First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. Then you get the VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That is the ultimate $500 trifecta. VSIN.com/GBank. It's a one-time promo. It's limited to customers opening a new account. In response to this offer, can't upgrade you, so new customers only. VSIN.com/GBank. T's and C's do apply. Kramer, do you want to start or should I start? I got a bunch of best
bets. Why don't you go?
Okay, first up, give me the Indiana Pacers. I understand the bounce back for the Oklahoma City Thunder, but this Pacers team doesn't go down easily, as you've seen in every single playoff game. They are scrappy, and they turned the ball over 24 times. That's the regression I expect to see in game two, and they're not scared of this Thunder team. They got some confidence. Also, let's toss in TJ McConnell over 5.5 rebounds and assists. I've been loving this all playoffs, going to keep riding it. I will also tail Scott's version of it, the 12.5 PRA with TJ McConnell. Also like Chet Holmgren under 8.5 rebounds. He just seems a little out of sorts there. Chet getting boxed out figuratively and literally. I felt like his minutes were limited game one. Maybe Dagnow gives him some more minutes. Even if he does, I don't like the over on his rebounds. Next up, give me Pascal Siakam over 6.5 rebounds. He's a rebounding machine. And even if the Pacers regress a little bit with the three-point shooting, that's going to create some long rebounding opportunities for long-armed Pascal Siakam. Going over to the United Football League, just put him in my tail of the tape. Give me the Birmingham Stallions. Nice pick him there. Give me the St. Louis Battlehawks, -130. Give me Murray State versus Duke over 13 runs because Noah gave that out. Good handicap as always. Tennessee, Virginia over 11.5. And yeah, who doesn't like a little college baseball dog? Country Roads, take me home. West Virginia +230 on the money line. And just in case something happens at the Miami quarterback situation, that creates some opportunity for Quinn Ewers. We know how the voters love to reward quarterbacks. 300-1 for Quinn Ewers, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yes, sir.
I'm in on it. And then my buddy Bo Nix, 50-1 to lead the league in most passing yards. He led the rookies year one. Him making a nice little jump here year two in that division with the Sean Payton offense and the weapons they've added. 50-1, too tasty to resist. Kramer?
A lot of good stuff there. I like how you cherry picked only a couple of Noah's plays. I shoved.
Okay.
Murray State, Duke. So just to reiterate Noah's plays, Murray State, Duke over 13, Tennessee, Arkansas over 11.5. Although I saw an 11 out there for that one. West Virginia +230. West Virginia, LSU under 11.5, and then the UCLA money line. UCLA. I did catch a little of their. Their journey so far. Shout out to the local channel for nothing like a local LA sports update at the end of the night, catching up on some UCLA baseball. Then we go in NBA Finals. I'm riding OKC again. They're going to win by 30. Siakam first bucket, 850. Hmm. And then I'm going to tail with Scott on that Siakam.
I do like
most
that, yeah.
Rebounds for the series at 5-1. Offensive player of the year, just in case, DK Metcalf, 170-1. Get it in the pocket. Andrew Thomas and Joe Alt both to take down the protector of the year. Andrew Thomas is 33-1. Alt 50-1. That price is way off. Then I sprinted down to the window to get some Cam Scadaboo, rookie of the year, 90-1. Put that in the pocket. UFL, I'm with Sean. Birmingham has never lost in the postseason. Birmingham has never lost to the Michigan Panthers. And St. Louis is the team that, for whatever reason, The Rock, Redbird Capital, The Rock's wife, the Fox Sports, ESPN, they all seem to want St. Louis to have a great experience in spring football, almost like the NFL feels bad that they ripped a team away from the city of St. Louis and have almost admitted that it was kind of messed up what they allowed happen. So Battlehawks, Stallions, you can take them on their own. You can do what Sean did and throw them in a parlay as well. That will be your spring football championship. And it's hard to see Birmingham not going for the four-peat. And that's it. Yeah. College baseball, UFL, NFL, and NBA. Nice little, and I think I'm going to be on Edmonton also game three. I was thinking about that as
really?
Well. Just support CJ.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to support CJ with my OKC Edmonton love.
Yeah. I mean, heartbreaker there in game two.
He was not.
Teams are pretty good bouncing back after in the NHL. And the one trend that I was picking up from some of the hosts on VSiN, of course, VSiN.com, covering you for the Stanley Cup. Trust the experts there on the hockey stuff. But, you know, teams coming off a loss scoring first. We saw that here in game two with the Panthers breaking, you know, getting first blood there. I wouldn't be surprised if you do like Edmonton in the bounce back to get them to score that first goal. That's always a fun way to play it as well.
Yeah. I don't need to go that deep. Just mental. Just a support.
Take oh, now it,
maybe
you
a puck line. Maybe
laying the 1.5 on the puck line. Now
it seems like I'm just going to do puck line.
And the puck line has been good, hitting at like 60%. But both games have gone to OT here. 1-2. Do we see a puck line game 3, Ryan?
I'm just going to play the. You know what? Great call. Puck line from here on out on Edmonton.
Okay.
Yep.
Puck line Edmonton, and let's see. Do we have a number for game 3?
I'm sure
it's
we
already
do.
Out. Edmonton, well, they're plus 1.5 minus 218. I'm assuming you're looking for an
I'll
alt.
Play the alt.
Okay.
I'll find it. So that's going to be a big number.
Yeah.
Like 5-1.
Well, and then maybe another way to play it is Edmonton in regulations plus 185.
Okay.
So because then obviously if it goes to OT, yeah. you're not going to hit the minus 1.5.
That would be annoying.
But the to win in 90 or not yeah, to win in 60, not 90. Almost had a soccer mishap there.
Yeah, jeez. Sorry. Well,
what do we got coming up here on this week on the Sports Gambling Podcast?
Well, Sean, I don't know if you know this, but the U.S. Open.
U.S. Golf, Open right around the corner, yeah.
We saw some epic qualifiers in the longest day of golf? The golf's longest day, 36-hole qualifier, seeing some pros out there carrying their own bags. So we'll be covering that. Of course, we're going to jump back into the NBA Stanley
Rory
Cup.
Rory missed the cut.
That's pretty wild.
To CJ, he was saying his odds to miss the cut were probably similar to what his odds were to win the entire tournament. So Rory, maybe you wanted some extra rest for the Masters, or sorry, for this next major here, the U.S. Open.
His response was, "Quote: Obviously, it's concerning." So, and then of course,
that sounds like a great meme.
We will be diving deeper into the Protector of the Year odds with Man in the Box on Wednesday, and then Thursday. UFL championship, a team will be crowned and we'll be covering it.
Yes. And of course, big thanks to all our guests, Mike Sauer, CJ Sullivan in studio, Scott Reichel, Noah Beanick,
the wolf
of Oakland, Belmont Picks. Yes. Yeah, so much going on. Of course, subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Stay tuned here on VSiN. Wake up tomorrow with the VSiN weekend morning line starting at 10 a.m. East. Followed by Ready, Set, Bet starting at 1 o'clock. Then stick around for Live Bet Saturday, 4 o'clock East. Ryan, what do you – I know you didn't want to parlay anything for Saturday, but a favorite play for Saturday? Sounds like Birmingham, right?
Well, it's Sunday.
Oh, so you're right.
You did this whole song and dance about your parlay and the UFL
on Sunday.
Why
didn't you point it out to me?
I didn't think about it until right now. No, that would be my stone-cold lock for the weekend. Would be OKC, Birmingham, St. Louis money line.
That would have been a fun paper ticket parlay, but you
Scott would have made fun of me. I would never do that with Scott anywhere near me. I'm not going.
What are we going to be getting down out here at the Circa? And of course, hit up the Circa Las Vegas. Get in on $400 all in deal. Blackjack, NFL slot machine.
I think we maybe hit the check out the slot. Maybe play some blackjack craps, and then I think we might be grabbing a drink or two with friend of the program Nate Collins.
Yeah, former NFL player. Check him out. On the Greenlight podcast with our buddy Chris Long over there. And we also broke our cherry with doing pack breaks. If you're into cards, football cards, that was a very fun episode. Kramer hit a nice Joe Burrow.
Yep, and great use of break on the cherry there with the pack break.
Breaking the packs.
Ripping the cherry.
Big thanks to everyone here, including producer Johnny, everyone behind the glass here at VSiN. Good times as always. And of course,
thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, second of the Money Green. He's Ryan.
Digital Horses, DM me.
Kramer, let it ride.